Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Chad Blanchard, he's the federal watermaster for the Truckee River, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Andy McKay, Marsha Bergbigler, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Chad Blanchard. He is the federal watermaster, controls the Truckee River up in northern Nevada. We spent a lot of time talking about the Colorado, but time to talk about the Truckee this year. Boy, what a difference a few months makes.
Oh, man, this is definitely last year. Was an extreme turnaround from the drought we had been in. But then this year, we had a tremendous November, and then we went into an extremely dry period for December, January, February, and we thought, you know, maybe it was going to be a terrible year. We ended up with one of the miracle marches and turned things around, and we're going to have pretty much an average year, which is an incredible turnaround compared to where we could have been.
Right, to say the least. And you have 6 feet of storage above the natural rim of the lake. How close are you to the top of that rim, which legally you can't go above?
We're about a quarter foot from that. And again, legally, it's insofar as practicable, because the possible inflow to the lake is so much more than we can release at any one time. There's a chance that it can go over, that, you know, as long as we're operating within the rules that are set up. If it's exceeded, then we get it out as quickly as we can. And so it's something that, again, it's people consider, think of the legal limit, is there's no way we can go over. But, again, we have to be operating within the system, within the rules. But it can go over. It did in 1997 flood. And, again, it's just because the inflow can be so much more than the outflow. For example, in 97, we had 100,000 CFS at one time coming in. We can only release 2,600.
Wow. That's incredible. So, but basically, you've got about 3 inches left in the lake.
Yep, about 3 inches.
Wow. So everybody at the lake, you know, and we've talked about this before, but essentially when Lake Tahoe is full, we say, quote, the drought is over.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, we can get pretty much 3 years out of Lake Tahoe as far as meeting our water supplies in the summer once we fill it. So it's over at least for the next couple of years.
Okay, now what about your other reservoirs? I noticed some of them are close to full, but others still have got maybe 50%, 25% room left. Are you going to fill those as well before you're done?
Well, right now we're passing some water through Prosser Reservoir that is dedicated to the threatened and endangered species in Pyramid Lake, and the fish are spawning out of the lake right now. There's over 400,000 fish in the river.
Wow.
So there's some water needed. When we had the melt going, the river was high, everything was good with the warm weather, and we turned cool, and the natural flow dropped, the snow melt dropped off, and so we had to go to storage to maintain certain levels there in order to provide habitat for the spawning fish.
And that's all mandated, right, as part of this?
Well, as part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe operate the facilities down there, and they determine, you know, what the fish need for their spawn and watch when they're spawning, and then they request water that they have reserved for that purpose.
How far up has Pyramid Lake come over the last 2 years?
Last year it came about 10 feet, which
wow.
is incredible. Definitely the biggest rise that we've seen, and that was all the way through the system. Last year we had the largest ever water year rise or inflow into Lake Tahoe. We had the natural flow record at Farad, which is state line, which is kind of where California, Nevada state line, where all our kind of targets in the river for Florestan rates and other things are met. We had the largest flow there. Fort Churchill and the Carson River that goes into Lahontan, record flow. So yeah, it was an incredible year last year.
And Lahontan, which was so far down, is pretty close to being full.
Yeah. It's again, this year, because of March, we've turned around and we're going to have pretty close to average runoff and pretty close to filling everything.
All right, so when people talk about climate, do you look at this as part of climate, or do you look at this as just the natural back and forth that, you know, in Nevada we have some good years and some years we have rotten years?
Yeah, you know, it's not known for sure on that. However, I've been here 25 years
right.
with the Water Master's
Office.
And every year is different, and
right.
we see extremes. Very rarely you have an average year. Even if you have an average year like this, it doesn't tell the story. When we look back on 2000 water year 2018, it's going to seem like, oh, it was just an average year, average precipitation, average runoff, but very far from average. All the precipitation was in November and March. So it's definitely varies. And when you look back at the history on like Tahoe elevation, we have a graph for the last 118 years on Lake Tahoe, and it's very cyclical. You have ups and downs, you have prolonged droughts, and then you fill it for multiple years, sometimes then right back down below the rim, and you have no water coming into the river. So I'm not sure on the pattern like this year, last year, what it's attributed to, but we definitely see variations in the precipitation and runoff, and this is just one of the many different things that I've seen over the last 25 years.
Oh yeah, to say the least. What's the longest drought that you've seen record-wise?
Well, in my position, basically the last drought that we had, so it started in 2012 and went through 2015. 2016 was kind of average year somewhat, so you could say because Tahoe was still below the rim, we were still in the drought in 16, and then 2017 brought us out. So that was probably the worst drought as far as what I've seen. However, there has been other droughts. So when I started, we were at the tail end of a significant drought in the late 80s and early 90s. And that ended in a very big way in 1995, another very large year. And then we went into a five-year period of extremely wet weather that we have never seen, you know, 5 years in a row wet. So we had 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 were extremely big, with the 97 flood being thrown in the middle there.
Yeah.
So that was a wet. That was right after I started. It started at the beginning of the drought, and then or the end of the drought, and we started into that. And then we went back into a drought, 2000 through 2005, where it was another dry period. And then we had a very big year in 2006, and then again 7, 8, 9, 10 were dry, and then 11 was huge. And so it's cyclical. And hopefully we can get back into a wet period for a while, at least an average period, but you never know.
You never know. All right, let's take a break. More with Federal Water Master when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Chad Blanchard. He is the federal watermaster on the Truckee River. Now, a chunk of the Truckee River goes into California. How much of it goes that way?
Well, it originates in California. So it originates in from Lake Tahoe, comes down through Truckee, across the state line, just upstream of Verdi, and then down through and ends in Pyramid Lake, which is the river's natural terminus. It does not feed the ocean. It's
all right,
part of the Great Basin.
But do we not feed some water back into Northern California?
No, there's some use of water out of Lake Tahoe and along the Truckee just in the local area, but it does not, from the main Truckee, it does not go over into the other side of
okay.
the mountain.
Okay, let me ask you this. You know, this is a critical time for Senator Reid and his family, and we wish him very well through this operation that he just had. But he played an incredible role in the operating agreement for the Truckee River. I mean, it took him 25 years to get that accomplished. How big of a deal was that?
It was very big for the area, for Reno Sparks, for emergency drought supply. It's changed a lot of the operations that we do on a daily basis. It's very different in the office now than what it was before as far as how we account for water, how we operate the system. Again, it allows different entities to have more flexibility with their water rights than they had before, and allows more flexibility for California to request other parties to help meet some of their needs with in-stream flows and recreational pools that weren't possible before TROA. So the Truckee River Operating Agreement really has changed things a lot.
You know, and it's amazing to me because the first time I interviewed Senator Reid, he had begun working on that and was excited about it. And the fact that it took 25 years to actually accomplish it just tells you how treacherous, pardon the pun, the waters are when you're negotiating water rights.
Yeah, water rights make everything go slower. Definitely the Alpine Decree on the Carson River took from 1925 to 1980 to be completed.
My goodness.
It's one of the longest court cases there have been. So.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. In terms of rain versus snow, how is that affecting the runoff this year? I'm presuming that we're not going to see as long a runoff season as we might have done otherwise.
So, yeah, we had a tremendous amount of snow in March. There was some rain, too, but a lot of snow, and it was set up very nicely as far as a normal good runoff. But then in the first part of April, we had an atmospheric river event, which is actually, it was not normal for that time of year. It was more of a winter-type event. However, it was warm and had rain up to, above the peaks of the mountain. So that melted a lot of snow, brought a lot of things down. It did help charge the system. We got a lot of rain. It made the soil saturated, so it makes the runoff more efficient. However, it did melt a lot of the low snow in the middle snow, and then we had warm temperatures after that for a while that melted things. So we definitely had a bigger percentage of our runoff come in April compared to the April through July, which is our normal runoff period, than is typical for this area.
And it was interesting to observe the Truckee River in downtown Reno. Last year, I remember it beating up against the Center Street Bridge. This year, the water was flowing very fast through a lot of white caps, but it was not as high.
Yeah, we didn't have the large events that we had last year. Plus, last year, we were spilling Lake Tahoe from February all the way through June. So
that's amazing.
We had a lot more water coming out of Lake Tahoe, which contributes a lot to the flow in the river. However, the events last year were just much more than this year, although we've had some pretty nice rain events this year. It just hasn't responded. The river hasn't responded like it did last year.
Do you see a time when Nevada is going to finally get away from flood irrigation? We don't do it on the Truckee, but you know, on the Humboldt, for example.
I don't know. I guess it depends on you know, the value of water and when other uses of the water become more valuable. That's what happened. It's happened in the Truckee Meadows. Obviously, the majority of the valley was irrigated at one time. Those lands have been purchased, the water rights have been purchased and converted to municipal and industrial, and the water has changed. Now, there's still significant amounts of irrigation going on in the Truckee Meadows. They're just small parcels. You know, a couple acre parcels is more common than the big ranches now. So,
but those are still the biggest water uses, would be irrigation and people doing lawns.
Yeah, throughout Nevada. But you know, it depends. I guess each basin is going to be different as far as the use of water and what other competing interests and people that want to do something different and were willing to spend the money to purchase the water rights.
And that's the way it is. Chad Blanchard, thank you so much. What a great job you did all through the season. And no flooding to report, so we're always pleased about that.
Thank you.
Great to have you here.
Good to
and
be here.
We'll look forward to next fall and have you back.
All right, thanks.
We'll have you do a forecast.
Well, good luck with that. Yeah.
Exactly. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great power pundit panel we held over for you. Andy McKay is here, the executive director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers Association. Marsha Burke Bigler is a Washoe County Commissioner, and Trey Abney is managing partner of Abney Talking Group. Andy, so back on the Sheldon Adelson trail, so he donates $30 million to a GOP-aligned super PAC, which sounds like a lot of money, except in previous election cycles, he's donated $100 million and gotten zero for it. So just because you've got the money doesn't mean to say that it is going to be spent in a sophisticated way.
No, that's exactly it. You know what? I think it was Newt Gingrich. He gave Newt Gingrich what, $50 million, or even $100 million, and that was a complete flop of a presidential race. It's a ton of money, no doubt about it. But George Soros and those guys are gonna spend that much and then some.
And more, yeah.
And so, in the grand scheme of things, is $30 million a ton of money? No, it's a lot to write that check. I don't care how much money you have, and I think he's gonna end up writing a lot more because he certainly doesn't want the quote-unquote blue wave to gain momentum and then reach fruition.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I remember the last time I interviewed Senator Reid, who we wish well, who is recovering from his surgery, and he was complaining about the Koch brothers and how much money that they were pouring into the election cycle. And I said, you know, Senator, it's not like the Democrats are short of money.
Yeah. The Soros has put in a lot of money. You know, and the other thing is, as an elected official, I find it offensive that people assume because the lobbyists support what we do, help support our elections, that therefore that means they're getting something for, they're buying my vote. Trust me, these guys will both tell you, if they put money into my campaign, and frankly I don't know whether either one of them has, but if they ever have, they didn't buy my vote and they know that. And so to assume that $30 million is going to buy something in Washington, D.C., that's not enough money to buy anything in Washington, D.C., really.
One of the major supporters of this program a few years ago said that Nevada is a politically naive state, that we spend a lot of money, but not necessarily in a smart way. Are we seeing that with question three, where the no on question three folks are going to put in $30 million, at least they're claiming that? That seems like an awful lot of money when you've got, you know, a governor's race and a United States Senate race.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you're not going to want to... I mean, sorry, Sam, but people aren't going to want to turn on their TVs this year with all the ads going on.
Don't tell my sponsors
with
that.
With the senator, with the governor's race, and then with this no-on-three race. And, I mean, they have a tall order to overturn, what was it, 76%
yep.
folks said
72,
yes. 72, yeah. You know, 2 years ago. So that's going to be a tall order to overturn that. I think their goal, if they can't overturn it, is to make it so close that they'll be able to go to the legislature. And see, that's what makes a lot of people nervous about question three is the message is, hey, the legislature will take care of it. And so there's a lot of folks like, well, will they and how will they take care of it? And so the real fight for this, I think they'll get it closer than 72%, and the real fight will be in the legislature in the next like three sessions. This is a very long-term issue.
Okay, absolutely. And Andy, could you explain to our viewers how that plays out, why the vote isn't just the vote and it's what happens beyond that in the legislature?
Well, specifically, as Trey alluded to, is the wording of the initiative, and that is if it passes, which would be the second time, and it was overwhelming, then it's going to direct the legislature to, in essence, set up a mechanism that will still be regulated by the PUC. There's some language out there that's insinuating that it's deregulation. It isn't, and it's to allow customers to buy their power on the open market. Mm-hmm. The $30 million, in order to move the needle, number one, they have to spend it because there's a senatorial race, there's a governor's race. I talked to an individual that is involved in the No on Three campaign. That $30 million is a baseline. They're willing to spend a lot more than that.
All right, so Marsha, what does that say to you about how much money it's worth to be the energy monopoly in Nevada? And by the way, we'll be having Phil Satre, who is the chairman of No on Three, on this program in June.
Well, there's no question. Monopolies, it's always great to be the monopoly if you're the monopoly. It's bad for other people. You know, I think as the industry, the solar industry, the wind industry, and all the other industries grow, I think it's time for Nevada to look at whether or not a monopoly is the right thing for us. And so, you know, I actually haven't read the ballot question, but I'm assuming it's very similar to the one, it has to be identical, I guess, mm-hmm. under the law, to the one last time. So I see it passing, but again, it does concern me what will happen at the legislature and how the pressures will be applied to legislators.
And Trey, as you look at the PUC at this point, obviously appointed by the governor, what role is their future role going to be, and how much are they going to affect, what happens after the fact, even if this thing does pass
well,
by a large majority?
They're going to have a big role, and, the ballot question, kind of sets the skeleton in place. The legislature starts to put meat on the bones, but then the PUC has to build everything else, because the legislature will pass bills saying the PUC must come up with regs doing
right.
this. Right? So it's kind of that three-tiered process. So the real weeds of it is going to be at the PUC. So whoever the next governor is and when these appointments come due is going to be very important to this process.
Well, and that, raises the issue right there is that both Democratic gubernatorial candidates have come out as no on three.
Because of the labor
right.
unions.
Correct. Now, I believe Commissioner Sisolak and maybe Commissioner June Kiliani both were in favor of it.
Right.
And
correct.
They've changed their position, which is interesting, and I haven't quite understood what the shift in position
was. Is it the IEBW, the Electrical Workers Union?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the labor unions now right. taking a stronger voice. And the
AFL-CIO, Danny Thompson.
Those on the Democratic side tend to listen to their labor brethren, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is that as far as the PUC is concerned, somebody's still going to have to control this. I mean, just because it's diversified into other companies doesn't mean that are working here in Nevada doesn't mean it's not going to need oversight, regulations, and rules. And that's what the PUC is going to do.
So bottom line, the Wild Wild West will not be the Wild Wild West
right.
of electricity.
Right.
All right. That's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, former Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons, Robin Reedy will be here. We'll see you then.